games on the schedule?
No!
That doesn't stop us from talking football. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. Here are your hosts, past WFCA President Tom Swiddle and WSSP High School Insider Big Time Mike McGiver.
Welcome into the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host. He is the past president of the WFCA. He's a WFCA Hall of Fame member and current head football coach at Milwaukee Tech, Tom Swiddle. Coach, how are you?
I'm great, Mike. How are you today?
I'm excited. This is a really big week.
This is
a big week for our show.
Yes, yes. And every show is special, Mike, but this one is especially special.
This is, because I remember 2 years ago and how you guys kind of tricked me, and it's just like such a great thing to announce who's going in the 2019 Hall of Fame is really cool. We are joined by Dan Brunner, and he is the executive director of the WFCA. Dan, how are you?
Good, Mike. Good to see you.
Man, this is a fun day for you, too.
Yeah, absolutely. It is, as Tom alluded to, it's one of our premier events that we do as a Hall of Fame.
Yeah, you guys laughing. I had just thrown pens at people. That's the kind of guy I am.
You got to get attention.
I got to get people's attention somehow, some way when we're in the studio. Hey, tell me about, if you can, Dan, the process of selecting the coaches and how that works.
Well, coaches are nominated throughout the year by WFCA members, and it's really an exclusive club. We only select 10 Hall of Fame members each year, and then some very exclusive award winners.
Yep.
So then the people that are nominated are sent forms, and then they fill those forms out with all of their data and their history and their coaching record and their achievements and so forth. And that's compiled by John Hoke, our Hall of Fame chairman.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because he's on the line. And so we're going to have him join the conversation.
And John can fill you on the rest of that.
Perfect. Hey, John, how you been?
Good. A little warm, but I'm doing well.
You know, you guys should get your boys out doing two-a-days and nutcracker drills or something.
I think you just need 1 hour a day enough for that.
Well, back in the day, John, you know, us old guys. Hey, I talked to Dan a little bit about the process on how you guys select the winners of being put in the Hall of Fame and the coaches that been nominated. Can you talk a little bit about that process as well?
Yeah, I can. I just heard Dan saying, you know, that we get nominations and they come in, and then we have them, we send them an information sheet and they can fill out all their information. And the more they fill out, the better. You know, it's not a time to be humble at all at that time. It's just fill it out. And then we put it in a rubric. That's one way. And then we get a letter of recommendations from them. And then our group kind of studies them. They get those in advance, and they look at where what they have. And then we do a vote. And they either get in or they don't, you know, at this particular time. And sometimes, you know, they don't get in the first time because we have some great candidates left over from the year before.
Well, boy, I'm looking at the, and I'm not going to give anything away, but this is a really good class this year.
Yeah,
it really is, yeah. And there's some names that are going to jump off the page at you. I can tell you that. And being part of it a couple years ago, the event itself is so cool. It just really is a really cool thing to be a part of, and I'm sure that these guys are excited. They will be excited when they hear that they're going to be in the 2019 WFCA Hall of Fame class. Hey, Tom, what year did you get? Were you in
2009?
Do you remember getting that call?
I do. It was actually the All-Star Game weekend that the committee met, and I was up there for the All-Star Game.
Right.
I was a part of the festivities, if you will. And so I found out, like, then. And what was really neat for me is a really, really good friend of mine, John Kolstad, the former coach at Green Bay East, also got in. It was, to go in with John Kolstad, who for me was like a mentor. I played for his dad in college, and John and I were like brothers. And the fact that I could go in with John meant so much.
Boy, Dan, same question for you.
Yeah, 04, and I got the call from Dick Rundle,
sure,
who was the executive director at that time, and it floored me. It just floored me. It was exciting.
Hey, John, do you make those calls then?
Yes, I do, and it's one of the most exciting parts about this process that I have. You know, last year I caught somebody who was climbing the Rockies at that time and called me back and said, I didn't have reception, called you back, and what do you need? And I told him, he said, oh, my God, it's just beautiful climbing here. But I said, you made my day. And I caught somebody out in South Dakota at the Badlands this year on vacation, and it's just amazing. And they're so thankful for the call and listen to them, their excitement. I mean, the one in the Badlands, the wife was in the background, and she heard it, and she's screaming and yelling.
That's awesome.
Really, it kind of gives me a little bit of a shiver and a little bit of a goosebumps myself.
Well, the event is unbelievable, but when these guys get that call, all the hard work that they put in, and to get recognized with, as you talked about, a very exclusive group, Dan, and everybody strives to be part of that group, and whether they tell you that or not, they strive for it. They hope maybe one day I'll get that phone call and I'll get a chance to be part of that. And it really is it's a group of guys, at least the guys that I know, care a lot about, you know, high school football, college football in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, and the kids. I mean,
to
a person, you know, they and their staff, everybody who gets in, you know, the first thing they say, hey, this isn't about me. This, you know, I'm not the only one being honored here. There's a group of guys that have coached with me over the years. You know, they're part of this.
Well, and I love the fact that you guys recognize assistant coaches as well.
I think
that's really important.
That's a lifeblood of a program, mm-hmm, are your assistant coaches, without question.
Yeah, because they put in a lot of time and sweat equity as well, and I think it's really cool that you guys do that.
You know, one of the things that being a part of the Hall of Fame committee and looking at all of the information on the candidates, one of the things that I've always been impressed on is, you know, it's not just the football aspect, but when you read about the other things that they've done, you know, the teaching awards they've received, the citizenship or, you know, local civics awards and so on. I mean, these guys are typically not just great football coaches, but they're also solid individuals who contribute greatly to their community.
Yeah, they're Hall of Fame men. They're not just Hall of Fame coaches.
Yeah, I agree with that. Well, this will be a fun show for us, I can tell you that. Hey, John, thank you very much for calling us your time. I really appreciate it. We're going to, the next two segments, we're going to announce the winners of the 2019 WFCA Hall of Fame class. And I appreciate you talking about the process a little bit today.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate you having me. The challenge for all three of you right now, I'm at Wazika at a passing tournament. And you tell me where Wazika is.
Isn't that near Platteville?
No.
It's not far from Lancaster.
You're right. Honestly, it's almost right by Prairie du Chien. So
okay. That was going to be my guess. Hey, John.
Hey, you guys have a great day. And I really appreciate this radio show. And this is a great time that those guys get the honor and that other people get to learn about it.
And, John, thank you for all you do being Hall of Fame chairman.
Thanks, John.
Well, thank you. It's an honor just to have this responsibility.
Excellent. Thank you, John, very much.
You bet.
Hey, before we get to a break, your boy over here going back.
Yeah.
He was retired. He was, you know, everybody thought, and then bang.
He's going to change. I've been pressing him to change the name back to Boys Tech.
I'm going to get real fire with that one.
First of all, good luck with that. I don't think he's going to look great in purple.
No.
I think Ingram's going to look great in purple.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. I'm so used to him in that Brookville East blue that this purple is going to be tough for me, man.
It's exciting for all the former Trojan alumni.
Hey, I went there as a freshman.
Wow.
Yeah. You didn't know that, did you?
You told me that.
I'm still waiting for that like tech hat. I'm sure you're bringing.
I've got a tech wristband for you.
There you go.
No, yeah. I do.
I'll take it.
Actually,
man.
I got it, and I will give it to you at break.
That's awesome. I look forward to putting it on. Hey, we're going to get to a little bit of an early break because I want to give us as much time as we need to be able to announce the 2019 WFC Hall of Fame class, and we'll do that. We've got Dan Brunner, the executive director of the WFC, and certainly my co-host, Tom Swiddle, in studio. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside Tom Swiddle and Dan Brunner, Executive Director for the WFCA. And this is a big show for us every year. And I really appreciate these guys doing this and naming the 2019 WFCA Hall of Fame class on this show. So let's start it out. Let's start with head coaches, Dan, if we can.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. First on the list is Mike Bartholomew from Oak Creek High School.
Mike Bartholomew, friend of the show, Mike. He's been on several times. And Mike has a really distinguished career. He had 16 years in as a college assistant before he got into high school football. But he was 17 years the head coach at Oak Creek. 93 wins, 2 conference championships, 10 years in the playoffs. He was 7 years a WFCA district rep, and that is something that, you know, again, the committee looks at, you know, what have you done, you know, within the WFCA, and Mike, or Bart, as we call him, has certainly put in his time there, and 2 Coach of the Year awards, and he might have the record for most times coaching in the All-Star game. He's coached in the All-Star game 4 times.
Has he really?
One as a head coach. He was the head coach last year for the South.
I'm going to miss having him in this. You're right. He's been a friend of this show and my high school show. And to have him in studio, man, he's just very knowledgeable. And comes from a good tree. I got a chance to meet his dad.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say that, Mike. The apple didn't fall far from the tree. No. The original Bart,
right.
His dad, Bill, who actually, when I was playing at Boise Tech, he was the head coach at Milwaukee South Division. Just a phenomenal human being. And Bart, you know, what a credit to his dad.
I think he's going to get sick of the heat in Vegas.
No, he texted me yesterday. Bart texted me yesterday and said it's great in Las Vegas. And I said, well, it's kind of hot and humid here, so you should be happy you're there.
He hated the winter so much. I'm sorry, Dan. Go ahead.
No,
Is that it for Bart? Okay.
All right, next on the list, Ken Bellinger from Frederick High School.
Ken, Mike, he's coached 52 years.
Oh, man.
And Dan, maybe you know, because I don't, but he's also in the Minnesota Hall of Fame. I don't know how many coaches we have in the Wisconsin Hall of Fame that are also Hall of Fame members in other state associations. But 52 years as a head coach, 17 here in the state of Wisconsin. He's won 2 conference championships. He's been in the playoffs 13 years. District Coach of the Year in 2003. 104 wins at Frederick High School.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Ken's a great guy and extremely active. He was in the Minnesota Coaches Association, and same thing with the WFCA.
Good
Just
for
a
him.
Class individual.
That's awesome. That's a good pick.
Next on the list. Just a great man, Don Kenzier from Luck High School.
And, you know, when you look at all the things Don has done, it's almost what he's done off the field overshadows the great things he's done on the field. Because Don has been sort of the face of eight-man football in the state of Wisconsin as, you know, as an association and working with the WIAA to make eight-man football happen. Don was the guy. He was on the forefront of that for eight-man football. And he's represented eight-man football very well through the WFCA and the WIAA football advisory. But Don, 30 years as a coach, 14 as a head coach. He has 109 wins, 5 conference championships, 13 years in the playoffs, coach of the year 1 year. He's also been an All-Star Game head coach and has also assisted in the All-Star Game. But if you put together his years as an assistant and as a head coach, 21 years of playoffs for Don Kanzior that he's contributed to.
That's a lot.
Yeah, and as Tom said, his work off the field as just the key advocate for eight-man football sometimes overshadows his coaching ability. But, I mean, this is a guy, if he really let, they would average 100 points a game. I mean, it's just right. Unbelievable eight-man coach.
Yeah.
Hey, not to get it, was that a tough putt to get the eight-man thing going? Was that hard to get people to buy into that?
I think the schools initially, you know, the first schools mm-hmm. that jumped on board with it were so happy
sure.
that, you know, eight-man football is available because of shrinking numbers and yeah. all the things. And I've been very impressed with what the WIAA has done to support eight-man football in our state.
Well, the fact that he was at the forefront of that,
yeah.
good for him.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
He deserves
yeah.
to get in. Next winner?
Next, another outstanding coach, Terry Laub from Owen Withy High School.
Terry has had so much success throughout his career. 28 years as a head coach at Owen Withy, 187 wins, 9 conference championships. And, you know, Mike, I'm an old school guy. I go back when a conference championship meant everything.
Right.
You know, that was the thing you were fighting for. And to do that 9 times is incredible. 18 years in the playoffs, 3 state championships. He was the state coach of the year in 2007, and he's coached in the All-Star Game twice in 1993 and again in 2006. In 2006, he was the head coach in the All-Star Game, and that's back when we only had 1 game.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I'll tell you what, he's really well-deserved.
Oh, yeah.
Really well-deserved. Yeah. I'm sure his name was up before, and it's really well-deserved that Terry's getting in. So those are the 4 high school head coaches that are in. Let's move on. There's 1 college head coach going in.
College head coach and well-deserving, Mike Emmendorfer from UW-Platteville.
Mike, we had him on with us at the Combine,
yep.
and I think we both got a kick out of, you know, probably the most famous quote you and I have ever read on air is, "Yes, we will run the ball." This is when he got hired at Platteville.
Right.
"Yes, we will run the ball. We will run with it after we catch it."
Right.
Now,
right.
That tells you everything you need to know about Coach Emmendorfer. And Dan, you coached against Coach Emmendorfer when you coached at Whitewater. But I really believe that he's changed the WEAC.
He changed
the WEAC. He came in. He was the first spread guy. He was the first open it up and, you know, throw at every play if you have to. And I really think that change. I mean, to think about when he took over at Platteville, they were a wing T team.
Right.
They went from being a wing T team to being one of the flashiest spread teams in the country. But Mike is the winningest coach in Platteville history. He's a 2-time WEAC Coach of the Year. And you can imagine how competitive that league is to win that award twice. 2 NCAA appearances and talking about his offense. His offense has broken 40 school records and 10 WEAC records.
You know what I loved about that interview we had with him? I asked him about opportunities to go somewhere else, to utilize Platteville as a stepping stone. And he said, look, I've gotten offers over the years. I love this community. I love this college. My kids, my wife, we like it here.
Yeah.
We love the state of Wisconsin, and this is where I want to stay. As long as they'll have me, this is where we're staying. I was so impressed with him when we had that interview. The quote made me laugh for 2 days. But when he talked about loving the state of Wisconsin, recruiting kids from the state of Wisconsin to want to play in that kind of offense, well-deserved. He's a good man.
Yeah, and like you said, Tom, back in the day when it used to be the WSUC, you had a guy named Monty Charles at Stevens Point with a quarterback, Reed Giordana.
Yep.
These guys, I mean, those names just stay with you because they revolutionized the league with their passing ability.
Right.
Mike has done the same thing in the now WEAC, as you said.
I was up at Platteville to do a segment for Around the Corner, and we talked about the cross-country team at Platteville High School. But I got a chance to drive through the campus and stuff. that's a nice campus.
Oh yeah.
And the nice field. I really liked.
Yeah. Remember the Bears used to train there.
That's right.
A lot of the bells and whistles they have at Platteville and its wonderful facilities is because of the Chicago Bears and the years that they held their training camp at Platteville.
I forgot about that. Yeah, it's a beautiful area of the state of Wisconsin. Hey, we've got a couple of combination coaches that are going in. Again, we are announcing the 2019 Wisconsin Football Coaches Association Hall of Fame class. We've gone through the head high school coaches, the one college head coach, and we're now on combination coaches.
Yeah, and this first individual is near and dear to me. I had the opportunity to work with him at Whitewater, and just so proud to have Steve Dinkle being inducted from Jefferson High School and also was the offensive line and running game coordinator at UW-Whitewater.
Yeah, we might run into our break here talking about all the things that Coach Dinkle has accomplished. We'll start with his years as a high school head coach at Jefferson. 10 years he was the head coach there with 60 wins, one conference championship, three playoff appearances. He was coach of the year in 1997. He was also an assistant at Jefferson when they won the state championship. Mm. So Jefferson's state championship in football, Coach Dinkle contributed to that as an assistant coach. And he was an All-Star Game assistant in 1998. But when you look at what he accomplished at UW-Whitewater and being a part of something really special there, obviously, four national championships when he coached there, three national runners-ups. He was the offensive line coach there, and Dan told me at break when we were talking about Dinks that, you know, he's the finest offensive line coach he's ever been around at any level.
Yeah,
You're talking high school, college, pro, he is the best offensive line coach.
Well, that's saying something.
Yeah. And he developed two linemen at Whitewater that were selected as the NCAA Division III Lineman of the Year while at Whitewater. He was in charge of the run game at Whitewater, and Whitewater regularly ranked in the top 10 and set conference and national records in their run game there. He had something like 10,000-yard runners while he was at Whitewater. And 27 of his linemen at Whitewater received all WEAC, all conference honors.
Well deserving.
Yeah.
And those guys, you can tell how good a coach he was. Those guys would run through a brick wall for Dinks any day of the week.
Boy, that's good for him. Congratulations to him. We've got just 2 minutes before we got to get to a break, and we have one other combination coach that has won and being put in the Hall of Fame 2019 WFCA class.
Yeah, Bill Forrester from River Falls High School.
Bill, like earlier inductee Ken Bellinger, has coached a long time, 40 years as a high school coach, and 12 years of that was as a head coach. And that's really what the combination is. I mean, I guess we didn't define it, but it's somebody who's been both a head coach and an assistant coach. 62 wins as a head coach and 123 wins as an assistant coach. But River Falls High School during Coach Forster's time there were in the playoffs 9 times, won 6 conference championships, was a coach of the year in 1995, and was also a district rep for the WFCA for 6 years.
Yeah. And a legendary head coach, Joe Labuda at Menominee.
Yeah.
I mean, that was, they're the guys that challenged them year in and year out.
Right.
Was River Falls.
Hey, guys, we got to get to a break. Other side of the break, we'll continue as we announce the 2019 WFCA Hall of Fame class. We have assistant coaches coming up. The National High School Association has named two. Dave McLean, Distinguished Service Award, which is my favorite, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
And this is a really good choice. And then the Margie and Dick Rundell, Positive Influence. You could not have picked a better guy. And I know that Tony Rush is going to be listening, and he'll be like, yeah, that's the guy who should win that. Well, let's get to a break. In studio with Tom Swindle and I, Dan Brunner, Executive Director for the WFCA. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show. I'm Mike McGivern alongside Tom Swiddle and Executive Director Dan Brunner. We are announcing the 2019 WFCA Hall of Fame class. We are now assistant coaches. So, Dan, if you can take it away.
Sure. Assistant coaches, and again, these are, you know, we have so many more assistant coaches that are nominated than head coaches, and it's not just longevity, it's their role as coordinators or key members of that staff. So first on the list, we have Keith Bradley from Almond and then also Wild Rose High Schools.
And, you know, longevity isn't the number one factor for assistant coaches, but Keith has been around for 45 years as an assistant, and he has coached both the offensive and defensive lines and that whole time. And not many coaches do that anymore, Mike, where they special, you know, people are specialists in offense or defense. He still does both. He's also a defensive coordinator. He's been a part of 228 wins, 9 conference championships, and 1 state runner-up.
Wow.
Wow.
Good for him.
Outstanding. Next on the list, we have Jim Harris from Ithaca.
Jim has been an assistant coach there for 34 years, 254 wins, 9 conference championships, 19 years in the playoffs, 1 state runner-up. Jim was also a head coach at Ithaca for 8 years, and he's been a coordinator for all 42 of his years of coaching, and he was coach of the year once.
Man.
Wow.
Been around a while, that boy.
Yeah, yeah. Another guy from way up north is Richard Jones from Elmwood.
He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame just having had worked with Jerry Hanock all those years, because Jerry's a load. Now, Jerry's also a Hall of Fame coach and a great coach at Elmwood and very involved in WFCA. But Richard Jones has been an assistant at Elmwood since 1984. And during his time there, he's won 2 conference championships. He's been district coach of the year twice and conference coach of the year twice. And, you know, when Jerry Hanock talked about Richard Jones, he made it clear that this is more than just a right-hand man. This is a guy that is a very integral part of the Elmwood football program.
Yeah, and so many of those assistant coaches are,
you bet.
You know, they're just, you know, the head coaches lean on them, and they just don't get the credit they deserve. This next guy is deceased, but I knew him so well during my time coaching at Hartford. One of our key rivals was Watertown High School under the Hall of Fame coach Dan Herbst. And this guy, when you talk about a right-hand man, Bruce Wettenweiler from Watertown was Dan's right-hand man.
Yeah, and 30 years as an assistant, 168 wins he was a part of at Watertown, 5 conference championships, 9 playoff appearances, 2 semifinal appearances in the state playoffs. Bruce was coach of the year in 1995, and I do have a note here that, Dan, you knew him well and coached against him, and you've already mentioned that.
Yeah.
But I know that when his name came up at the committee, you had nothing but great things to say about Bruce.
And again, one of those guys, not just a coach, just a quality human being.
That's awesome. Hey, Dan, we've got 2 coaches from the state of Wisconsin being inducted on the national side, correct?
Yes. Yeah. The National High School Athletic Coaches Association, and this is a pretty another exclusive club. They select, we have 2 inductees from Wisconsin every year, 1 from the north and 1 from the south. And again, when these people get selected, these names just jump off the page
you.
And
Yeah, especially the first one.
Oh, the first.
Especially if you're around here.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
I knew this guy personally back from my days at Boys Tech. Frank Budish.
Yeah.
Unbelievable coach.
Yeah.
People still tell Budish stories, man, all the time.
Yeah.
He was tough.
When I took over at Tech, John Kazabowski, a good friend of mine, who had coached at Tech in 86 when they won the – or excuse me, they finished runner-up in the state championship Division I. And he Kaz gave me all this stuff. And one of the things he gave me was this poster that he made, and it has all the cutouts of all the articles for the season on there. And it's great to just read all, you know, when they beat sure. Park and when they beat Oconomowoc and the state final and all of that. And I was telling Dan when we talked about Coach Budish that I've got this thing laying on the floor. I've got so much stuff, and you can only imagine what a mess my living room is. But my that's where my desk is. I walk over this thing every day as I get to my desk, this poster that Kaz made, and the corner that I step over is Tex Budish announces retirement. I mean, I see his name every single day, like three or four times a day. But what a tremendous tradition and something that really attracted me to the school. Was the kind of thing that Coach Budish did there, along with Coach Richardson, Coach Kanawalski.
Yeah, you know, bet. Coach Richardson was my head coach. Coach Budish was his. Back in those days, it was Richardson and Budish.
That's it.
That was it on the coaching
staff. For
100
staff. Kids.
Yeah, right. 100 kids on the team, and that's it.
And you're afraid of both of them.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what. Anybody out there, you Google Frank Budish, and that picture that comes up, I mean, he could have been the starring role in any Marine movie, because that's what he looked like.
Storming the beach with John Wayne, is that what you're talking about?
Oh, there's no chance he gets hurt doing it.
Oh, no.
People still, when you're around some of these old guys like me, people still tell Buddhist stories.
Oh, yeah.
Just tougher than nails.
And a voice you would never forget, ever.
That's awesome. And the second guy from the north, well-deserved.
Oh.
The Comets up in Waupaca.
I'll tell you, John Karankiewicz from Waupaca is our other national inductee. Unbelievable coach. Again, name just jumps out off the page at you.
Right. And I know a little bit less about John than I would about Frank Budish, but I know with all the playoff appearances and state appearances and things like that, like Dan said, his name is just – jumps off the page at you and is so deserving of this national honor.
Yeah, we're going up to Waupaca we spent some time up in that area, and you say his name.
Yeah.
When you're at, there's a little restaurant called Fat Gretchen's. Right? They get the best breakfast ever. But you say his name, and people just kind of come to the table and start telling you stories about their son or nephew who played for him. So well deserved.
Yeah, and you get a 10% discount on that.
But you have to be able to spell it.
You got
to
be able to spell it.
Because I spelled it wrong on the sheet.
A piece of bacon.
I put an extra
spell it wrong.
Oh, man.
Hey, we've got two more awards. We've just got a couple of minutes left. The Dave McLean Distinguished Service Award. I'm a huge fan of his.
Me too.
So I'm so proud that he's in.
Yeah. Mark Stewart from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
Mark has been around forever. I mean, when I was at Dominican, when I was at Wauwatosa East way back when, Mark has been covering high school football and really all sports. He's the prep guy for the Milwaukee Journal.
I read everything. He writes about a track and field. You know, I read about it because he's just so good.
Well, and I agree with you, Mike, because my experience with Mark is whatever he writes about, he does his homework.
Yes.
He knows his subject
matter.
And this is a guy that is so serious about his craft that I've invited him to come up to the state clinic and attend the WFCA business meeting when we're going to discuss some really important topics.
Yeah.
Mark comes.
He comes.
He comes and he listens.
Everything he reads.
And he's a part of it.
Yeah, I don't really know much about girls volleyball, but what I know is from reading because any time that I see he's written something, I know I'm going to learn something, and I'm going to feel like I was there. I'm a huge fan of Mark Stewart.
Yeah. Very happy that he's won this award. And like you said, you and him have something in common now.
Yes, we do, man. Welcome to the club, Mr. Stewart. And you should have got in way before I did. So, oh, well. I really thank you so much. And Mark, the fact that you're in, I'm just really proud of the work that you do and how much love and passion you have for high school athletics. We've got one left.
Yeah, and this is a big one in terms of influence on young men throughout the state. Marge and Dick Rundle, positive influence of coaching award, could not find a better candidate, probably nationally, than Steve Jones from Kimberly High School.
Yeah, I'm impressed with Coach Jones, with everything he does, from his coaching to his style, how positive he is, all the things he does. As Dan said, this is a man who's getting national recognition and is a sought-after speaker, you know, for leadership and team building and things like that. And I don't know how much time we have, but I got to tell one minute.
Yep.
This will take 30 seconds. We were in the same grouping of eight with Kimberly 1 year when I was at Brookfield East, and they were going to play the winner of our game. We played Cedarburg. We lost. Coach Jones called me up. I was literally going to a youth banquet that night, and I only had about 10 minutes to talk to him. In 10 minutes, he grilled me better than any defense lawyer could have ever done in the court. And, I mean, he was asking questions, and when I got off the phone with him, I thought, my God, no wonder why Kimberly wins. What a great man.
He comes on during the playoff times for my high school show, and the first time I had him on, it was like, I don't even know what level it was at that point, but he said, look, I've only got 10 minutes because we're doing this community project where we're going to be here in this neighborhood and we're cleaning this. And I said, Coach, it's playoff time. He goes, yeah. And I said, you got your kids out? He said, yeah, I don't care what time of year it is. They asked us to come as a team to help clean up this area, and that's the kind of stuff we do. He never talks about the winning streak, none of that stuff.
Yeah.
He said, I don't want to talk about that. This is a whole different year. It's a different group of kids. Let's just talk about this group of kids. Huge fan of his, and certainly congratulations. Guys, this is a really good class.
Yeah,
it
2019 WFC Hall of Fame class. This is up on, they'll go up on the website soon.
Yes, absolutely.
So if you missed any part of it, it'll be up on the WFCA website very soon. Let's get to a break. Other side of the break, Al Minnert's going to join us. He retired, Madison Edgewood.
He retired. Yes he did.
Is he going to do a Brett Favre like you did?
I don't know. We'll ask him.
We're going to find out. I'll tell you what, his daughter does a good job.
She does.
Man, and that team is fun to watch. We'll do that on the other side of the break. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. I'm Mike McGivern. We lost our third co-host here. Yeah. Brunner just ran out of here. I think his wife called or something. He forgot to cut the grass.
There you go.
He took off running.
Yeah.
And zipping out of the parking lot. Boy, Dan did a good job with that all-star group. He works hard, man.
Oh, yeah. I've been so impressed by, in my time in the WFCA, some of the great individuals that I've had a chance to work with, and Dan tops the list.
He tops the list for me, too.
Yeah.
He does, and I didn't know Dan very well before I started doing the show, and to be honest with you, I was kind of intimidated and nervous the first time.
Oh, he's a big dude.
Well, and his voice.
And his voice, yeah.
And then you sit down and talk to him, and he's just one of the boys.
Yeah.
He's one of the boys who played at a high level, coached at a high level, and now he's working with the WFCA at a high level.
Yeah, he sure is.
Yeah. Hey, let's so you think the former coach at Madison Edgewood, he's done, huh?
I think he's done. We're going to ask him about that.
We've got him on right now. Al Minnert. Hey, Al, recently retired from Madison Edgewood. I'm thinking you're going to pull a Brett Favre, but that's just me.
Yeah, I don't know. Retired is the wrong word. I just stepped down as the head coach. I am still teaching and at Edgewood, and I'm kind of serving a role as assistant athletic director. And so one of the things that I've talked with a longtime basketball coach and athletic director, Chris Wettler, we both went into the Hall of Fame this past year, is working with our teams on community service initiatives, that every team does some type of community service initiative within our community, and helping coaches. I'm doing a little consulting with people around. I wouldn't be surprised if sometimes I resurface like Tom has. I'm not retiring. As a private school guy, we
You don't retire.
No.
You don't retire, and I think that's true of anybody that's been in it in a long time. You just find a different way to help young people, and so that's kind of what I'm working on. So.
Well, Al, we wish you the very best. Aren't you going to be the working as the commissioner for the conference too? Oh, you know, or something like that. I heard.
You know, I've been doing. I stepped in as an assistant commissioner with the Badger Conference for a little bit. But they have gone in a different direction there. And so I actually had a meeting yesterday with Rick Crist with the Wisconsin Football Foundation.
Oh, yeah.
And so one of the things that I'm looking to do is perhaps help them a little bit, crank up the Wisconsin Football Foundation and improve, you know, on, you know, that initiative. And so I'm kind of interested to see where that goes. Again, you know, I really believe football is the best sport for creating leadership within our communities. And so, again, anything that I can continue to do to help promote leadership through athletics, that's another thing. I started some camps the last couple of years with the Madison Police Department, bringing officers, bringing kids from their neighborhoods in, using athletics and in particular football to see these officers in a different light that, you know, helps their relationship within those neighborhoods with young kids. And so I'm doing a little bit with the Madison Police Department in partnering to improve community outreach. So I'm sticking my feet in a lot of different areas.
Man, and, I guess.
You're not doing anything.
No, you're not sticking your feet up and watching TV.
So,
well, unless it's a Brewer game, you watch those, don't you?
Yep, exactly. I still think my calling would be to figure out something with my daughter to help with the baseball situation.
Well,
so,
I have to tell you.
She's living my dream.
Well, and you know what? And please don't be offended by this. I don't think she needs your help. She's so good. That, man, I have a brother that lives in Florida, and he gets the Major League Baseball package because he's a huge Brewer fan, and he'll call me, and one day he said, hey, do you know her? I said, no, but I've talked to her dad a couple of times. He said, man, I watch all these games. She's better than anybody else out there. I said, well, I'm going to tell her,
dad
that.
We're extremely proud of her and the work she does, and again, I've been blessed with the opportunity to work with her at the football state championships. And to rattle off the information that she does as quickly and efficiently as she does in transition, you know, I've been very impressed and obviously very proud.
Al, how do you think it's going to be come end of July, early August for you this year?
I'm very kind of nervous about that. But my wife has decided is maybe we just go away for a week.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah, that's what Ingrid and I did.
It's kind of an odd thing, but I have been able to get a little bit of a football fix. I worked with we hosted Jeff Trickey's quarterback camp this past week, and Jeff was kind enough to let me help out, and so I get a little football fix that way. And then there's a coach or two in town that have asked that, hey, can we just sit down and X and O a little bit? And so I think a good way for me to transition is to do some kind of help of some kids that want a little extra help and some coaches that maybe want to learn more about, you know, option football and help them install it. It's one of the really difficult things is as high school coaches, you only get 5 days to do football-related activities. So if you can get somebody to come in and work with your kids for you, you know, and especially quarterbacks, it makes it really hard to have efficient passing game when you really can't instruct them, but only 5 days a week, unless you have somebody coming in from the outside. So
right.
I'm hoping to do some of that. You know, hopefully I'll be okay when the fall rolls around.
Well, I guarantee you will, Al, and you're going to find other things to occupy your time. And one of the things I did want to ask you, though, and we only have about a minute or so left, but you were inducted into the Hall of Fame last year, and today we announced the 2019 Hall of Fame class. Can you give us any impressions, any thoughts of your experience at the Hall of Fame last year?
Yeah, you know, it was such an amazing day. You know, the Coaches Association, it was right on the money in terms of what they, as far as the timing and everything else, worked out that way. It was a great day. Another thing that I did that was a recommendation of Chris Wetler is we had a nice little reception of my kids got the word out on Facebook. And so we had a reception where a bunch of my former players and even my former head coach from my high school came and made a surprise visit to me. And it was just a great day. And the association does a phenomenal job. I think, you know, I always said the best thing in our association is the All-Star Game and the money that we raise for that great cause. But I tell you, the Hall of Fame experience is
Wisconsin. So you're going to be missed, Al, but at the same time, I know you won't be that far away, that you're just a phone call away. And best of luck with the foundation, the National Football Foundation. My son was selected to that a couple years ago, and it was just a great, great thing that he went through with that. So best of luck with that.
Yeah, thank you. And again, I think it's another thing that I'm hoping to bridge, improve that relationship with our Coaches Association. I think that it makes a lot of sense, and being located in Madison and near, you know, Patty, Chris, and the Chris family, and knowing the Chris family so well, it makes a natural connection to help the relationship with the Football Foundation, University of Wisconsin, and the WFCA. So,
Al Minert, recently retired head football coach from Madison Edgewood. Boy, that first Friday night when you hear the band, Al, that's going to be tough, but you'll be okay.
You know, I'll figure out something. It's going to be different. There's no question. But, you know, I'll be okay. And I trust and believe that something good will come my way. So thanks for all you guys do for, you know, high school football in Wisconsin in particular. And again, congratulations to the new members of the Hall of Fame.
Al, thank you very much.
Thanks, Al.
Hey, let's get to a break. Other side of the break, we're going to talk to the head football coach at Carthage College, Dustin Haas, and we'll talk to him. As soon as we get back, you know, one thing that I'm going to yell at Dustin about, I want more Wisconsin kids on that roster. I'm going to yell at him for that. Maybe later, maybe near the end of the segment, I'll yell at him.
Well,
I don't want him
we should ask him why it's difficult to recruit. And my hope is that this helps his profile in the state and looking at. But, you know, they're right on the Illinois border, man.
It's a cool campus.
Oh,
so they
beautiful.
Can get kids over there. We'll talk to Dustin again, the head football coach at Carthage, on the other side. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
No games on the schedule?
No!
That doesn't stop us from talking football. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. Here are your hosts, past WFCA President Tom Swiddle and WSSP High School Insider Big Time Mike McGiver.
Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show. I'm Mike McGiver, and alongside my co-host Tom Swiddle. You know, Coach, when you look at the upcoming high school and college football season, you know, you always start with, let's see who they're going to, you know, kick the season off with.
Yeah, that first game is really important.
Yeah. And, man, if you want, you played Division III football at the state of Wisconsin, you want to find out where you stand, might as well play one of the best, and you're playing UW-Oshkosh. And, boy, you'll find out quickly. Yeah, you know, if you've got something or not. And our next guest, he is Dustin Haas. He's the head football coach at Carthage. Hey, Coach, thanks for a few minutes of your time. How are you doing today?
Doing very well. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, I'd start losing sleep right now over that September 1st game, Coach.
It's going to be a big one. There's no doubt.
Yeah, good
You're
for
exactly
you.
Exactly right. We'll find out real early where we're at.
Yeah, you might as well find out early, right?
You're exactly right.
That's a good way to do it. Hey, Coach, is this, if I counted right, your 11th or 12th year at Carthage, correct? Total?
This is actually will be my sixth year at Carthage. So this will be the first year as a head coach.
Oh, I see. Yes.
Five as a defensive coordinator.
Yeah, that's, you know, I'm an Irish guy that went to Messmer. So looking at numbers, Coach, I'm not so.
Don't blame the good people at Messmer for that.
Hey, thanks,
Mike.
Thanks a lot, Tom. I appreciate that. Hey, Coach, I said when we're getting out of our last break, I was going to yell at you about something. You know, I look at your roster, and I know you guys are right on that Wisconsin and Illinois border. I'm hoping that as I look throughout the next few years, there'll be more Wisconsin kids on that roster. You being a Wisconsin guy yourself, I'm sure recruiting with kids from the state of Wisconsin is pretty important to you.
You're exactly right. It's, you know, when I took over, we kind of amped that up, made it one of our bigger priorities. Wisconsin high school football is really, really good, and I think you see that with how good the state league teams have been for a long, long time, and we need to get more of those guys. There's no doubt we gotta amp up our roster with more of the guys that love playing football in Wisconsin. And like I said, they play really, really good football, and we need to get more of them.
I know, being a high school coach, I know how hard Carthage has worked at trying to recruit Wisconsin kids, because I always, connected with you guys, and I'm sure will continue to do so in my role over at Bradley Tech. But let's face it, it's hard to recruit, I'm sure, against the state league, and I just remember talking to, I believe it was Coach K at Carroll, and he said to me, boy, if every kid that I recruit that tells me they're going to Whitewater, that actually goes to Whitewater, they're going to have 150 freshmen out for football this year. So it's not so much that you don't want to recruit Wisconsin kids, but it's just really hard.
It is. The state league system's got a good thing going on. They offer a good product, and they're on paper, they're cheaper. And that's what a lot of guys don't realize is at the end of the day, we're probably pretty comparable cost-wise. But that's an uphill battle to fight when they can look on paper and see 19,000 or 20,000 versus 55 at Carthage. So that's probably our biggest battle in getting those kids.
Hey, Coach, for student athletes that are listening to the show today, can we talk a little bit about what it takes for kids that are coming out of high school and going to Division III, playing football at Carthage, what it takes for those guys to play at the next level, and what's the changes that they're going to see when they play at that next level?
I think the biggest thing is just the time commitment. For a long time, you'd hear, oh, it's just Division III football, as if it were like an intramural or something like that. And our kids put in the same amount of time that the Division I kids do. They work just as hard. It's tough. And the transition from the high school to college, where you're in meetings every day, you're in weights, you're at practice for a long time, and then you still have to go back and study without mom and dad there telling you what to do. That's probably the biggest adjustment is to learn how to manage your time.
And certainly, like you talked about, from the classroom to the field to the weight room, making sure that you take care of your business, not only on the field, but certainly in the classroom. I think the other thing, Coach, the size and the speed that these guys are seeing as an incoming freshman is quite a bit different than what they saw as a senior in high school.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt, and it's different when you're an 18-year-old freshman and you're going against a 22, 23-year-old man that's been in a college weight room for 4 or 5 years and has really developed his body. You're exactly right. The speed, the size, the kids that go on and play college football, they're the top one or two, maybe three players of every high school team. So you're going against really good football players at every single position.
And what's interesting, Coach, and this just happened with me yesterday, I was giving a couple of my guys a ride home after workouts, and we were talking about playing in college, and right away, oh, I want to go to Texas Tech. It's like, right. My God, do you understand that a college program in Texas is not going to recruit in Wisconsin? Why would they have to,
right.
Or, this other kid in Florida, and it's like, again, they're not going to, they don't have to leave the state,
right?
That kind of,
right.
the disconnect that athletes have with how difficult things are. And, you know, I look at your schedule. And last year, you guys were 7-3, 5-3 in the conference. And every one of your losses was to a ranked team, a team ranked in the top 10 in Division III. That's how tough your league is. And I don't think people understand how difficult the CCIW is. I mean, to put in perspective, everybody knows about Whitewater, but a team you lost to last year, 13-10, Illinois Wesleyan, beat Whitewater last year.
You're exactly right. Our league is phenomenal. You know, week in, week out, you got to come ready to play. And you talked about our three losses were to three ranked teams, and we also beat some teams that were ranked in the top 25. You know, in Milliken, and it's you're going to go each week against a heavy hitter, and you know it's a tough league. There's no doubt. But we wouldn't want it any other way. You know, that's why we have Oshkosh on the schedule. We want to play the best of the best, and we get to do that every week in our league.
Hey, Coach. Last question before we get to a break. Moving over, I'm a basketball coach. Moving over 6 inches to the left to go from an assistant coach to a head coach, that's a big 6 inches, man. And I'm wondering how you're feeling. First-year head coach at Carthage, been in the program as their defensive coordinator and defensive backs coach, but now you're the face of the program. Has it been a good transition for you?
It has. You know, it's been a dream of mine since I was younger to be able to be a head coach, and to have it realized is pretty special. And you're exactly right, it's different. You deal with a lot of things you probably didn't expect outside of the football realm, but it's been fun. I've really enjoyed it and can't wait to get to the season.
Hey, we're gonna get to a break. Can we hold you over for one more segment?
Yeah, no problem.
That's awesome. He is Dustin Haas. He's the head football coach at Carthage College, and we'll continue our conversation with him on the other side. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host. He is the head football coach at Milwaukee Tech. He is Tom Swiddle. We are joined, our second segment, Dustin Haas, who's the head football coach at Carthage College. Hey, Coach, I love to ask college coaches that come on to give us one or two staple drills that they do on a daily basis, or will do the upcoming season on a daily basis, because they believe in those drills so much. And can you share one of your drills with us?
Yeah, of course. You know, a couple of them that it's hard to pick just one, but a couple that I love to do. We have with our entire defense, we call it a 3-on-1 pursuit drill. It just teaches our guys how to take correct angles when they're pursuing the football. And we do that every single day during the season. That's how we start off practice, kind of set the tone for our guys and how we're going to run to the football. You know, and then DB-wise, we're going to work our footwork drills every day, from our back pedal to our weaves to flipping our hips, just little technique stuff that can make all the difference in the game.
Boy, that's good. Coach Swiddle, there's a couple of drills that we do every day on the basketball floor, and you just believe in it so much, and you watch as kids middle of the season sometimes start getting bored with it,
yeah,
until you remind them why we're doing them every day.
Right, and if you can, and I'm sure you do this on the basketball court, and I know I do it, and I'm sure Coach Haas does it, you do a variation of the drill.
Sure.
So you're doing the same thing, but it's not exactly the same. And, yeah, you got to keep their interest. You don't want them to be robotic out there and do a drill without thinking about it, that's for sure.
Hey, Tom, we were talking about the facilities at Carthage. You're impressed with those, man.
Yeah, I've been – Coach, I've been on campus a couple of times, and I'm just so impressed by the facilities at Carthage. It's just top-notch. Your football stadium is absolutely beautiful. Your basketball arena. My co-host here, Mike McGivern, is a basketball coach, and I was trying to explain that, you know, this isn't a gym. It's an actual arena, you know. And then as I kind of trolled around with the other schools in your conference, I noticed everybody has got incredible facilities. talk a little bit about what's going on at Carthage facility-wise.
Yeah, you're exactly right. We have some phenomenal facilities, some of the best in the country. You know, we've got a great game day atmosphere with our stadium. Just got brand new field turf last year, which is nice. We just got a brand new athletic weight room as well this winter, which is awesome to have our guys in. You know, and got our own locker room as a football team. Like you said, we are our Tarble, our recreation center, I guess, that houses all our facilities is just phenomenal. Everything they've done with that has been great.
Hey, Coach, with looking at your bio, you've got a wife and three kids. Make sure that as the season goes, and now that you're the head coach over there, you still have a lot of time to spend at home. I had a coach from, I believe, Western Michigan on another show I do called Faith in the Zone, and I asked him if he thought kids have changed over the years, and he said absolutely not. He said, we've changed. We've gotten older. And he said, look, when I was the first year I was a head coach, I was 28 years old. I was single, and I was one of the cool guys. He said, now I'm 44, married with three kids. All I want to do is get out of practice, go home, and see my kids. So question for you, Coach, do you think the kids have changed a little bit over the years, or is it us?
You know what? I think it's a little bit of both. I think the kids have changed a little bit, but I think it's more on us as in terms of how we hold them accountable and the standard that we set. I think kids are very adaptable, and if you set the standard, they're going to meet the standard. You know, and as long as you make it clear and communicate what that standard is and stay the course with it, you know, I think that those kids will mold right into it.
Coach, when somebody asks you now, you know, you've been on the defensive side of the ball, what kind of offense you're going to run, or do you believe in the spread? Are you going to, you know, hand the ball off 40 times a game? What do you tell people?
I tell people that our offense has to fit our players. You know, I don't think you can just say this is our offense and this is what it's going to be and we're going to run this come whatever. You know, I think you got to adapt to who you have. And I think that's what the best coaches do is they put their kids in great positions to make plays that don't have a set offense or a set defense. And no matter what, we're going to run this. I think they're able to kind of morph and mold onto who they have that year to help their team win.
Boy, that's a great answer, Coach, because I'm exactly the same way. You know, I think about my time at Brookfield East. I ran three different offenses there in 6 years, and it was all about personnel. Who do we have?
Yep.
We started, we were a four wide. I had state-level track guys all over the place, and by my last couple years there, we were big, ponderous, and
boy, and one of the best running backs this area has seen in a while.
But the point is, you know, you adapt. And I have to ask you, Coach, you lettered at Indiana as a quarterback, so obviously your playing days were on the offensive side of the ball, and here you've made the transition to being more of a defensive specialist. How did that happen?
It's funny. I get asked that a lot. I never played anything but offense my entire playing career, and I've never coached anything but defense. So when I was getting hired as a graduate assistant at Indiana, the head coach at the time, Bill Lynch, he's like, well, what do you want to do? And I said, well, I want to be a head coach. And he said, well, the best thing for you to do then is go coach on defense. That you know offensive football, you've been around it at a high level. You know, I had a phenomenal offensive coordinator when I was at Indiana, and Matt Canada was just
a great
football mind and got to learn a lot about the offense. And he said, you need to go learn defense. He said, you could tell me what cover four is, but you don't know how to teach cover four. You know, so he did that, and, you know, I appreciate it. It was smart. It was wise, you know, on his part, and it's helped me out a ton.
Well, and if you look at your success on defense, I mean, you've certainly, you know, statistically, you had one of the top defenses in the country last year, and you had something that hadn't been done since 1921, back-to-back shutouts. That's not easy to do in today's college football at any level.
No, it is not. You know, and part of that, I think, is because I was on offense, I have a little bit of understanding of what those guys are trying to do and how they're going to attack, you know, what we play on defense. And I'm able to counter it a little bit sometimes and put them in good situations. You know, but we got a lot of kids that play really, really hard, and they're talented. And I think when you combine that on defense with kids that play hard and have some talent, I think a lot of good things happen.
Hey, last question before we let you go. Yeah, I talk a lot to college football coaches, not only in the state of Wisconsin, but some guys throughout the country. And I don't think they're pulling my leg when they tell me this, Coach. When they talk about recruiting kids from the state of Wisconsin, how good the high school football coaches are here in the state. Because when they get these kids, they're ready to compete at that next level. When you talk about fundamentals, when you talk about knowing the game of football, do you agree with that as far as the coaches in the state of Wisconsin really having their kids prepared to play at the next level?
You're exactly right. The coaches in the state do a phenomenal job with that. Their kids know football. You know, they come in physically ready. And you hit it on the head. You're exactly right with their competitive level. They're ready to compete from day one. They're not going to sit back and wait and see what happens. They're going to come get after it. And the coaches in our state do a phenomenal job prepping those kids for that. You know, you can't say enough about those guys.
Boy, that's awesome. When I first started talking to these guys and they would say that, I thought, oh, come on. You're just saying it because you're on our show. But, man, I believe it. I think that.
Well, I've got a good friend, and maybe you know him in the coaching circuit, Jovan DeWitt. He's now at Nebraska. He was part of Scott Frost's staff, UCF. He's a Tulsa East kid, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, when he was at Florida Atlantic, he told me exactly what Mike said, that, you know, we got great athletes and you know, great football players in Florida, but they're not as well coached as the kids we get from Wisconsin while he was recruiting kids from Wisconsin at places like West Point and Northern Iowa and so on. So, yeah it's something that's out there.
There's no doubt. He's exactly right. These kids, they're ready, they're prepared, and like I said, you can't give enough credit to the coaches of this state.
Hey, Coach, thanks a lot for your time. He is Dustin Haas. He's the head football coach for the Redmen down at Carthage. Hey, I would assume that Tyler and Tessa and Caleb are big Redmen fans.
They're huge, probably the biggest right now.
That's awesome. They're going to look good. You know, their dad's now the head football coach, so that's great for them. Coach, thanks for a lot.
Thank you so much, Coach. Minutes. Best of luck this season.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. I really appreciate it.
You got it. Let's get you a break. Other side of the break, Bill Collar, who is a Hall of Fame coach from Seymour, past president of WFCA. He's got a coach's manual. And we're going to talk. Well, he's got some good stories.
He's got great stories.
We'll talk to him about that on the other side. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. To the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented as always by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. I'm Mike McGivern, alongside my co-host. He's a head football coach at Milwaukee Tech. He's Tom Swiddle. Our next guest, he is a former, what is he a former? Nothing, right? He's a head football coach, isn't he?
Yep.
He's a past president.
Past president of the WFCA. He's everything.
He's got a lot going on. And he's written a manual that we're going to talk to him about. He's a head coach at Seymour, Bill Collar. Hey, Bill, how are you today?
Hey, just staying cool here up in Seymour.
Yeah.
I think we'll practice in the field house today.
I think you should get him out there and do two-a-days with him today. That's what I think. Get back to the old way we used to do it, Coach.
And believe me, Coach Collar is an old-school guy. Yeah, he would know exactly what you're talking about right here.
I've got a feeling in that manual he's written, he's not telling you to go at 100 degrees to get him out, to give him a salt pill. And get him outside doing two-a-days.
Hey, no water, right?
No water. Oh, man. Those days at Messmer, they said no water. You get one water break, and if you need to take a salt pill, other than that, get tougher, is what they told us.
Times sure have changed for the better.
They really have for the better. I agree with that. Hey, Coach, today we had the opportunity to announce the 2019 Hall of Fame class. And you being the past president of the WFCA, what a big day for these guys.
It certainly is. All these gentlemen certainly deserve the recognition. And it's not that they want the recognition, but later in your life, you get a chance to reflect back and look back. It just means that much more. And as you know, Tom, we have just an outstanding Hall of Fame banquet and induction, and usually some of the former players show up, and it's just a real uplifting event.
Yeah, and Coach, you went in 2000 is when you got into the Hall of Fame after a very distinguished career at Seymour. And, you know, yesterday I kind of was going through some of the different classes of the Hall of Fame as I prepped for the show today. And, man, it's just a who's who of high school football in the state.
Certainly some outstanding coaches. And another thing that's often forgotten, Tom, you have some excellent teachers, not only of football, but classroom teachers, whether it be physical education or, in my case, it was history. And people, as we've said many times, coaching is teaching and teaching is coaching.
Yeah, and you know, and I was going to ask you that, Coach, because that is a quote on your Hall of Fame plaque, is exactly what you just said. And I was going to ask you about the connection between teaching and coaching. Do you want to elaborate a little bit on that?
Well, I've always, we have a new mayor in town, and just the other day, a young fella I had in class, and in his column in the paper, Seymour is just a community of about 4,000 people, 3,500 or so. But anyway, this young man who was in his 30s, he says, and I remember back when Coach Collar said, plan your work and work your plan. And whether you're teaching or coaching, as you know, to be successful at either one, you've got to have a definitive plan, and then you have to carry it out step by step and set those goals and work together as a team and the leadership. Everything that comes in with football can be applied to so many aspects of life.
And Coach, earlier in your coaching career, you coached at Antigo High School, and you worked with Hall of Fame coach Gordy Schofield. Then you coached at UW La Crosse with Hall of Fame coach Roger Herring. What did you learn from Gordy and Roger, and how did you apply that to your own coaching career?
I was very fortunate, Tom. Two completely different types of personalities. Gordy Schofield, Antigo, was a real driver, intense type of guy. And Roger Herring at UW La Crosse, he was a little bit more laid back, but in his own way, very intense. But the thing they had in common, they related real well with the young men who they were coaching. And that's often, I think, something we forget. You know, today we get so wound up in the X's and O's and this play and that play, and it goes back to the fundamentals and the basics and how you relate to each young man and attempting to get a peak performance out of each one. And I've always believed, and I learned this early in my career, it isn't necessarily what the stars on the team do, but if you can lift that middle of your team and that talent level up, it makes everybody else that much better.
Hey, Coach, if you could get one more game on a Friday night, where would that game be held, and who would you play against? You know, if you could go back and look at all the places you've coached and the atmospheres, if you could go and coach one more game on a Friday night, what field would it be? Where would it be, and who would it be against?
Well, that's a great question. of course, you'd want to be down at Camp Randall. But other than that, you know, playing in the state.
That's a, yeah, that's a good point. Yep.
But other than that, we'd want a home game here at Seymour, and because we always had outstanding fans and the home crowd was terrific, and we had a number of rivalries. We had a great conference here in the Bay Conference, but as I look back, you know, we have a district that borders us just to the north, Pulaski. They're no longer in our conference. They've grown considerably, but we just had some real games with them. And then, of course, you know, Kenny Glumsky over at Ashwaubenon.
Sure.
They were a big rival also, so you could count on that they were going to always bring their best game. So those were just a few of the teams. And Bill Turnquist over at West Appear, he was a terrific rival. A unique thing about our league back then, I think we have about six coaches who are in the Hall of Fame because they all coached more than like 20 years, and they all won at least one state championship. Coach Hanner up at Marinette and over at DePere, we had a coach also. And so it was a very good conference, and no one team just dominated. So that was one exciting thing about playing in the Old Bay also.
Coach, would you talk to those guys the week of when you played them? Or I'm sure most of these guys are friends of yours. Did you stay away from those guys for that week?
For the week, most likely, yes. The night of the game, I always shook hands with the opposing coach before the game and after.
Yeah.
And we had a situation. I started about my fifth year at Seymour. I was at Seymour for 29 years. And we started a tradition where the winning coach was responsible then for setting up a get-together, a little party where we'd go out for dinner with all the coaches in the conference. And at first it started out just the coaches and their wives. And then pretty soon it got so you could bring your assistant coach. So we'd have about 70, 80 people attending these get-togethers. Everybody tell a little story. But that way the wives got to know each other. And really, to this day, I'm good friends with many of the people I coached against. And we just had a Bay Conference reunion a year ago at the Titletown Brew Pub in Green Bay. And we had about 75 people attend. Chet Jerkovac, the great coach up at
Clintonville,
he's in the Hall of Fame. He came all the way up from Florida. So this is what it means to these people. And I tell you, I wish I could have taped the whole thing and put it on video or something, or because it was just a great experience and shows you what the game meant to these men. And you know, that same type of thing carries over to young people. I've had five grandsons now play football, and it makes you realize how the game is really very special when you get out there and you sweat and you get dirty. And you know, football is a tough, tough sport. And I think it teaches us a lot about life. And that, of course, that cliche about getting up and going again after getting knocked down. But that's just part of it. You form so many close friendships that you'll have the rest of your life.
Coach, I would have loved to have seen you in the Bay Conference reunion last year, because I'm sure that knowing you as I do, that's your element. You know, being with other coaches and being able to tell stories and to laugh, and you've got great jokes. You make people laugh. I wish you would have recorded that, because I would have loved to have seen it.
It was fantastic. And of course, you know a number of those coaches also, like Kenny Glumsky. He's always got.
Yep.
He's a pretty quick wit.
Yeah.
And when you can think back at some of the really crazy things that happened. Maybe at the time they weren't very funny, you know, as far as the game goes. But Randy Marsh, he's another Hall of Fame coach from New London. And Randy's had some setbacks health-wise, but he was there. And we were telling the story about the time when we were playing them, and we weren't real tough that year, and they were beating us up pretty good. And it was in the fourth quarter, and I put the whole second team in, and he put his second team in, and I think we jumped off sides about three times, and I yelled across the field, "Randy," I said, "I'm putting in the third team," right? And he immediately pulled his squad out, put in his kids that normally wouldn't play, were probably more like JV players. And that was the type of thing how we matched up quite well, and I think we all respected each other. It was highly competitive, but at the same time, we realized it was all about the kids.
Yeah.
Hey, can we get to a quick break, Bill? We haven't talked to you about the manual that you've written. Let's do that on the other side of the break. We'll continue our conversation with Bill Collar, a coach from Seymour, past president of the WFCA. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. To the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show. This is Mike McGivern alongside Tom Swiddle, who is the head football coach at Milwaukee Tech. Hey, Tom, I apologize. We should have gotten into the manual right off the bat, because all of us coaches could use a manual
on
a bunch of stuff. Our guest is Bill Collar. He is a Hall of Fame coach from Seymour, past president of WFCA. And we're going to talk a little bit about the manual that you've written. Bill, what was the reason for writing the manual?
Well, first of all, Tom, it was about 6-8 years ago, a number of us coaches were sitting around talking about if a young person is going into coaching, doesn't know all the technical aspects of the game as far as dealing with the public, dealing with the media, sportsmanship, you know, putting together your game plan, your practice plan, all those kinds of things. So I didn't really write the manual. I edited the manual. What we did, we asked our Hall of Fame coaches to submit articles to the manual, and then we put it together, and it ended up being over 100 pages of real worthwhile information that young people going into coaching could use. The art of goal setting, special teams checklist, ethics and your role as a head coach, conditioning, fitting the helmet properly, just a wide variety of things that a young coach should know. And Tom, you contributed to the manual also. But one thing, we didn't put down which coach submitted which article. We just called it a publication of the Wisconsin Football Coaches Association. So it's the WFCA manual. I just organized it, put it together, got a lot of help from many of the coaches in the state.
Hey, for any coaches that are listening now that don't know about it or haven't seen it, is there a way online? Or is there how can they get their hands on it?
It is available on the Wisconsin Football Coaches Association website. The manual is $10, very reasonable. And I didn't have anything to do with this, but Dan Brunner and a number of the other people, Dan is our executive director, does an outstanding job. But they decided the proceeds from the manual should go toward a scholarship that they put together in my name. And every year we give out I wanted to recognize some young men who normally don't get recognized, so it has to go to a lineman, and they call it the Bill Collar Lineman's Leadership Scholarship. So that's where the proceeds from the manual go.
And Mike, that is the essence of Bill Collar,
that's
giving
awesome.
Back. I mean, the fact that there's a scholarship that's attached to him that has his name on it means so much to us in the WFCA because of all the great things that Bill has done for the WFCA football in the state of Wisconsin through the years. It is just so apropos.
Did you notice the first thing he said was, look, this wasn't my idea.
Right, and it yeah. Well, and I'm just going to say Bill is downplaying his role in all of this. He is, you know, a guy who has that has done the majority of the work for this manual and deserves the credit for it.
Bill, that's awesome.
I do want to make the point that early in the manual, we have a mentor list, and we can add to that nowadays as there's more coaches, but we have 33 coaches listed there that any coach in the state, a young coach, can contact these coaches to get assistance. Your name is on that list, by the way. I don't know now that you've come back and you're a head coach. You're going to be very, very busy. But for example, a couple weeks ago, I had a young man contact me, and he said, Coach, I'd like to get back to shoulder blocking. A number of coaches are doing that, getting away from blocking with the hands. He said, could you send me some information? I said, well, better yet, why don't you bring your staff here to Seymour? We'll have a little mini clinic. And we could do the same thing, you know, like quarterback skills.
Yeah.
Bob Brezowitz down in that area, or Jeff Trickey. There's just a wealth of help in the manual. That's its purpose.
Hey, Coach, are there things in the manual for young coaches that aren't coaching football but may be coaching other sports?
I think it would relate to practically every sport, like some of the titles of different articles, 16 Tips for Positive Parenting in Extracurricular Activities, something to share with the parents. I've
sure.
even had coaches contact me and say they just run that off and hand it out to parents at their parent meeting, 17 ways to promote good sportsmanship in your school. Do you and your players practice good sportsmanship? Kind of a checklist. The mental game, training your mind for peak performance, maintaining personal motivation, maintaining a positive attitude. 11 keys for coaching longevity. That's one of my favorite ones, Tom, because as you know, you can have a down year or two and and suddenly the coaching profession isn't as attractive as it once was. So we got to make it through those valleys to experience the peaks.
Right. And I know that you know, you have firsthand information on that, because when you took over Seymour, there wasn't necessarily a lot of success there, and you worked really hard to make that a premier program, culminating in a state championship. So if there's anybody that knows how to do those kinds of things, it's you. And I would like to also add, Coach, that this manual isn't just for high school coaches. It's good for youth coaches. It's good for college coaches. There's a lot of different coaches that could benefit from this manual.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, it reminds me of a quick little story. I often say my first, you know, Seymour had an MX success. In my first year at Seymour, we were 5-4. And people often go, oh, wow, you know. And I say, yeah, we lost 5 games on the road and we lost 4 at home.
That's awesome. That's
great. So we were 0-9 and our team was worse than our record indicated.
It was a learning experience.
Unfortunately, I had the background where I had worked with guys like Gordy Schofield up at Antigo and Roger Herring, and I knew what we were doing was right. It was just a matter of getting the kids and their parents to buy into it. That can be difficult.
Yeah, you were getting no free haircuts and popcorn after that first year, were you?
You got that right.
Man. So go to the WFCA website. It's WFCA Manual. It's a $10. And the proceeds go to a scholarship fund under Bill's name. And it just sounds like this is a manual that any coach in any sport at almost any level would pick up some really good tips on. Again, the WFCA website, and then purchase the manual for $10.
It's well worth it. If you are a young coach, it'll be the best $10 you have ever spent. That is for sure. And Bill, thank you once again for all your hard work in putting that manual together. And again, thank you for all the things that you've done. I really enjoy any time that you're up in front of the room and you got everybody's attention. It's a real treat. So, and then thank you for being on the show today.
Well, thank you and all you've done for football, past president of the organization, as well as this. What a great radio show. I wish we got it here in Seymour. But
Podcast, right? I mean, you can listen to it on the WFCA website along with the WSSP website.
And you know what? You never know. Next year, maybe we'll be up in that area, Coach.
Hey, there you go.
Hey, Bill
Collar. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Coach.
Yeah, that's awesome. Again, go to the WFCA website, buy the manual, $10. You can't go through a drive-thru for $10. No. Go buy the manual, my goodness. Tom, it's good to see you.
Great to see you, too. Have a great weekend.
You as well. Happy 4th of July, everybody. Thanks for listening. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coach Association show presented by Raising Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM. The Fan.